Next, from the clerk and recorder, a contract with Harkinther Civic for a new voting tabulation system for $1,365,270, of which approximately $800,000 will be reimbursed through the Help America Vote Act. This was tabled from 4-22-04 to allow for comment on the specific contract. The decision to make the purchase has essentially been made in terms of policy issues, but we did want to give the public a chance to comment on the actual language of the contract, which was posted following Thursday's meeting. Have we had any comments on the actual language, and what are they?
Mr. Chairman, I shared with you what I felt was the only substantial comments we received on the contract. They're from Paul Walmsley, who is a member of CVB, who I've known for a while, and discussed his two comments before he submitted them yesterday in my office, where I met with him for a couple of hours. One had to do with sort of the complexity of doing a hand count, machine count analysis. His first comment expressed his desire to somehow overcome the complexities in that, and I think we've discussed some of the possible approaches to that. His other comment was his concern that the confidentiality clause prohibited disclosure of training manuals, and I have discussed that with Hart. They do indeed have a concern about that because their feeling is it can give away the processes that they use in their proprietary system for addressing vote tabulation issues. And indeed, they had been engaged in a legal action in Harris County, where the County of Harris supported Hart in that matter.
Okay, which Harris County?
Harris County, Houston, Texas area.
In Texas.
Yes. Where that jurisdiction has adopted their e-slate system and their ballot now system for absentee voting. I've shared my discussions with you on that. I don't really have an opinion one way or another on the non-disclosure. I mean, I'm sympathetic with Hart's position that they're very detailed manuals that instruct the operator how to actually go about, using their system. As to the technical complexities, I can't speak to that, although I know that the company obviously is concerned that they do stay within the disclosure or non-disclosure. Regarding the hand count, machine count variation, I think we have some options that we discussed. You had an idea yourself, and we could possibly do something during the mock election, which would basically the Secretary of State doesn't have any say over that because it's our mock election, and we could probably put something together in that case.
Okay, let me ask first on the question of non-disclosure. This would cover both the source code and the manuals, is that correct?
Yes, and other items too. I have the list in my contract, but yes, you're
okay.
Right.
Okay, what we're speaking with here is the proprietary software that's used for counting the ballots.
Correct.
What is the status of the software that's used for counting the ballots with the data vote system that we've been using since 1976? Is that proprietary?
Yes, it is. And my understanding from talking with Nancy Jo Worrell is that it is indeed escrowed someplace, and we don't have a copy of it ourselves. And my understanding from talking to her is it's sort of a two-edged sword. We don't want to have it because then we could be accused of having manipulated it.
Okay, but the point I'm getting at is that we have been counting ballots here, if I understand this correctly, using a proprietary software for which we do not have a copy of the source code, which we could, by contract, get a copy of if we sign the appropriate non-disclosure agreements and if there is a need. If we wanted one, but we have chosen not to do so that it's simply not available for somebody yet.
Correct. In my understanding, in talking with Hart, I know that I've heard Neil McClure over at in the Lafayette shop offer to some of the CVD members that they come over and look at the source code if they sign a non-disclosure.
Okay, that's the other thing. Is the language in the contract such that that Hart will make that make that available to somebody who signs a non-disclosure?
I don't believe that's actually covered in our contract. I think if somebody who was from the general public wanted to do that, that would be sort of between them
and Hart.
Right.
Okay.
And I have with my own ears heard that offer.
What is what's the situation with DataVote then? And is there language in that contract that would?
I would have to defer to somebody who wasn't here because that was well before my time. I haven't even seen a DataVote contract.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, you know, it certainly is a reasonable issue to raise, but on the other hand, it changes nothing from what we have. The question becomes, I guess my next question would be, is there an inherent good that comes in open source, or is this matter open to discussion still?
I think you'll have two divergent views on this. I think there's a group who feels that it's the same thing, and I think Commissioner Mayer expressed this as having Linux open source code, and I think there's other people in the case of these voting systems who believe they have an investment in a piece of intellectual property and they want it kept proprietary.
I understand where Hart's coming from on that. The question is where we're coming from. And what I'm wondering is this, that obviously we have been reluctant to have the source code for the counting system floating around the office for obvious reasons. I mean, there is a use for, you know, there is, to me, advantages in proprietary software. Those advantages are that it is not readily available for somebody to hack. That the alternative argument, experience in a number of jurisdictions has shown that the serious theft of elections is usually an inside job. It's not something that an ordinary citizen slips a few ballots into the ballot box while nobody is looking. That being the case, I think that not having this readily available makes sense from one perspective. The counter argument, I suppose, is if the software is transparent and being available for anyone to observe, there is less chance that a hacker could perform a hack and be able to escape undetected. So it's a question of where you draw your main line of defense, if I understand this argument correctly. And that is open to some discussion within the computing community. I know this Mr. Harlan is sitting there nodding his head affirmatively. If there's anyone who can provide some wisdom on that, I'd like to know it.
Mike Harlan, IT manager. Commissioner Danish, I think you actually did summarize the concerns exactly of where the two camps are today in terms of proprietary software versus open source software. I mean, the issue with open source is that a wide selection of the public, essentially those who could understand the code, would be reviewing the code and making sure that it's not vulnerable to attacks. That's probably the key issue on the open source. The other side on the open source, if it's open to everybody, it's also open to all the hackers to try to break in. So that there's two sides to that coin.
Okay, so it is, so one could argue it either way. We have willy-nilly chosen proprietary. I guess the only question I would have with regard to the contract is, would it make sense to put a clause into it that stated that if members of the public agreed to sign a non-disclosure, that they would be that would be made available to them? Or is that something where traditionally the proprietary companies also evaluates each request and says, even if you signed one, we don't think you're trustworthy and we're not going to let you do it?
I think they would evaluate each request primarily from they want to ensure that no one from the competition is reviewing their code.
Okay.
Along with, they would probably have some security concerns also.
Well, I would think the security concerns are the important one. Presumably, in signing a non-disclosure, you would also have to affirm you are not working for the competition. Okay. So, but the point is that if the contract goes forward with open, with closed, with proprietary software, as it is worded, we will be in precisely the same position with regard to counting software that we are with our current system.
That's my understanding.
Okay. With the difference being that this is a considerably more sophisticated system.
I do need to review, I think we have a copy. I do need to review, and I can do that very quickly, the escrow agreement.
Okay.
To make sure that the language is as you've stated it here in the last few minutes.
Could you do that? I think that would be a very useful thing to have. Because if there are differences, I'd like to know what they are. Okay, the second point that was raised is that there is a lack of support for hand counting in the contract or for a statistical sample by hand counting. Could you speak to that a little more? And could that be put in to preserve the option?
I think what Paul was speaking to was there was a degree of complexity because of the way the ballot now system operates. We presented Hart with three different approaches. One was a simple precinct count. The second, well, simple, but involved in that, it would be a time-consuming process. But on March 17th, I met with members of CVV and the clerk's offices. We discussed the possibility of just doing a precinct count, but, you know, and comparing what the hand count of that precinct was to what the actual tally was on the system. That was, my recollection, the least intrusive approach in terms of pulling ballots out and having to worry about ballot security. The second approach was one that we had talked about internally in the clerk's office about allowing sort of random, here, just pick 50 here out of a batch in any precinct, and we'll do a hand count comparison. That got a little bit more complex in terms of how you manage the ballots and subtracting, votes from actual tallies. And the third was the most complex, which was Mr. Walmsley's approach, which was an approach that would do a statistically valid random sample of ballots in each scanner to test, and the purpose of that was to test that the actual scanner was counting correctly. That was far and away the most complex procedure that introduced greater possibility of error. I've provided all those documents to Paul Walmsley. I believe they're posted on CVV's website at this point. And I think that's one of the things that the Secretary of State's office was most concerned about, was the complexity of the process, the possibility of introducing error. I think what Paul was getting at, if I can sort of paraphrase it, and I might not be able to do that correctly, he was hoping to find some way to eliminate some of that complexity from the process so that we could do some sort of hand count, machine count comparison.
What I feel about this is that there should be some language in there, which is a fairly broad piece of language, but is in there, that says if a hand count becomes practicable, I believe that would be the, and practical from state law, permitted under a ruling of the Secretary of State, that Hart shall offer full support for that.
The hand recount?
If it is done. So, because what he speaks to here is preserving the option, which is really where we're coming from in in this process. I think that was the policy decision that we were making. We recognize that under state law, that may not be permitted right now as part of a recounting process, but we are preserving the option through the the core decision of using paper ballots. That being the case, I think it's important that there be language in here that says, should that option become available through changes in regulations, that the vendor, particularly since the vendor is maintaining a proprietary source code, will give full support.
And I would point out that the contract only asked the vendor for support through this year's elections, and the presumption being that we are going to be able to run an election following that. What you speak to does get a little bit more involved, but if in the event of a recount or something like that,
I would
we
really
could do
like that. Good. I would like that in here, because the fact is whatever is in this contract will probably set the framework for our ongoing relation with the vendor. And there is going to be an ongoing relationship,
yeah,
I assume.
I think the only person here from Hart might not be able to speak to this, but I'm sure that they would be glad to do it on the basis of time and materials.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I hope that you can think of some language along those lines as a final thing before we get that in. I mean, it's essentially a general commitment that Hart will support what is done in his lawful.
Okay, and I gather that Andrew Wright with Hart might want to offer an observation.
Mr. Wright?
Andrew Wright, I'm the project manager with Hart InterCivic. We can review the contract very quickly, but I believe there's already language in there that speaks to the fact that we'll support any effort to a time and material basis. If my memory serves me correct, is that what you remember?
Everything outside the scope of the work was
right.
Talking
there's already language in there that really supports the issue that you brought up, and
would
I think
you
carries forward.
Could you point to that language? I'd like to review
I'm
the
sure
fine print.
There's language in there, but it's going to take.
Good. Well, let's find it.
Commissioners, we were going to request an amendment to the agenda to go into executive session to discuss a potential litigation matter. Maybe we could do that now. And
while you're looking this up?
Yes.
Would that be agreeable to you?
Sure. So we also have the other land use stuff.
Yeah. Let's do the executive session.
Okay, I'd move that.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
We'll be back as soon as we finish that.
What exactly would they have to do?